This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Dipna here, founder of the I Love Real Estate community. In today's podcast, I'm going to chat to a couple who are very typical of those who hit their 50s and go, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I've got to retire soon. What am I going to retire on? Where am I going to find this passive income? I'm used to having a job. I'm used to having income coming in. What am I going to do in retirement? And unfortunately, it's all too common a story. And most people leave it too late to actually make a decision to get themselves re-educated in an industry that they can continue to earn income in, even past their 9-to-5 jobs. I mean, this real estate is such a wonderful vehicle to be able to create an amazing life. And the next story I'm going to share with you is a couple called Dan and Leanne. And Dan and Leanne were, typical, I suppose, in many respects. They had jobs, they had a career, hit their 50s and thought, what are we going to do? They raised children, they'd had a pretty good life. But when you start thinking about how much income do you need in retirement, it starts to become, a very big deal as to what you're going to do to fund that kind of income in retirement. And their figure was $110,000. They needed $110,000 coming in retirement to be able to continue to have the kind of life that they're living on now. And prior to joining I Love Real Estate, they really had no plan in place. They had no idea of how they were going to accomplish those things. They'd done okay in property. They'd bought a few properties. They'd, had them scattered around the countryside. And yeah, they were even positive cash flow. But the thing was, they were caught financially in being able to move forward. They had very little equity. So whilst these country properties did give them a passive income, they weren't growing. There wasn't any way that they could increase the value in those properties to be able to keep investing and keep accumulating passive income. So that's when they decided they needed a little more education in the field. And part of the education, and it's not the case for everybody, but it was for them. The best course of action for them was to actually get rid of some of their rubbish. Not that it was real rubbish, it's just that it wasn't. There was no more upside left in the properties. There was no opportunity to be able to move forward and get the $110,000 worth of passive income, which is what they needed for retirement. So they did have a few sacrificial lambs, and they replaced that by going into better properties that had more upside. And one of the deals that they're in now, once that's completed, will actually give them an $88,000 passive income. That combined with their existing $30,000-something is, guess what? It's the $110,000 that they're asking for. So have a listen to their story. I'm going to cut across to a live event that I did at the end of 2018. And it's where I asked students to come on stage. It was about 800 people in the room, so it was a pretty big event. But we had a lot of fun, and you'll hear a lot of laughs on stage and things like that. But have a listen to their recording, and then I'll come back at the end, and we'll have a little chat about it. I'll see you on the other side, guys. Bye now.
G'day, right. Everybody. How are you?
Okay, so you guys generally poking around the New South Wales area, or you snuck up into Queensland there for a while?
We've done a lot of miles. We've done a lot of miles.
Now, you say they're emerging from the box. Why do you say that?
Very much so. I think everybody in the room here would be well aware that real estate has always been the greatest vehicle for wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly knew it. I took it on board right from the very beginning, but never had any real understanding of just how to use it or how to get on really on track.
And I think, us coming through into the workforce and things, that's our mantra. You get a good education, you get a good job, and now that you're successful. That's what we were taught.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So trying to break that barrier down, break the box down.
That's right. Yeah. And so for us, the first part was you got to get the education.
Yep.
So we went to uni.
Mm-hmm. One of us finished.
Leanne graduated beautifully. And I came out enlightened. Study was not for me.
So you actually became a real estate agent.
I did.
And then you became a cop.
It was the only way that I could see to get ahead in real estate wealth.
Look at that smart young man there. Look at him.
I was smooth.
I love the hair.
I was smooth.
You were smooth, were you?
I was. But the reality was, I got the job. Yep. I got the education. When I found the house that I wanted, I went to the bank and said, can I have a loan? And they said, mate, you haven't got a secure job. So to answer the question, I needed a secure job and I got one.
So you became a cop.
I did.
Okay, and Leanne became an audiologist.
Yep.
Took off to Queensland.
Yep, where every smart person goes.
A lot of commuting.
Yeah, oh boy.
Ended up, getting married to the university sweetheart.
Well, No. What happened was we both went to the same university.
Yeah.
And never met.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it was 9 years later when I was gatecrashing a party in Sydney that he wasn't even going to that we met. So then he's Sydney.
He wasn't there knocking on the door. Oh, sorry, the noise is too loud in this no, party.
Not quite.
We lived next door for 3 years and didn't know each other.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. So I was on the Sunshine Coast and he was in Sydney.
Yeah.
And that's when we decided it would be a good idea to start dating. Geographically incompatible.
Fantastic. So how did we meet then?
Well, that was just it. I was a GDs, general GDs, flat foot copper.
Yep.
Maroubra, eastern suburbs.
Yep.
I went to a party specifically, and you wouldn't believe it, it was time for me to find a wife.
Oh, God.
So you went to the
party,
I went to a party that I wasn't going to go to.
I did.
Like the farmer found a wife, the cop needs a wife.
Pretty much. I didn't know she was in Queensland at the time, though.
Yeah.
That did complicate it.
She was asking how you met Dim. No.
Oh, right.
It was me I was talking about, not her.
Sorry.
You've already got one.
Again, it all came down to knowing that I needed the education.
Yep.
We'd pushed out a lot of years. We did a heap of things. A lot of the things that we did, people sort of said, what are you doing that for? Who does that? Who buys a block of land on Russell Island? Everybody heard the doom stories there.
Yep.
I went looking for an education is the reality of it.
Okay.
And I found somebody, wasn't quite my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got this magic little email from Knowledge Source.
Okay.
That said, Dempner's running a free one-day event. Came down to it. Leanne had her own job.
I was coming as a handbrake to keep him in line because he's been to a couple of these types of events before and I didn't want him to get overly excited.
Yes.
So practical, you know.
Right. How did
I heard you talk for half an hour and I was like, oh, my God, this woman's got so much to say that I need to hear. And at morning tea, I said, dear, no, you're not signing up for Ultimate. We're doing Quantum because I need to learn this too.
So there you go. Great handbrake you got.
I use it
when I need to.
But she also knows that one of my mantras has always been he who hesitates is lost.
That's right, yeah.
Mm.
So you've got this little property here. There was this pre-DB, was it?
Yeah, all three of those are.
Yeah.
The big picture's one in Tamworth, of all places.
Tamworth, yeah. So a few country properties and bits and pieces,
yeah.
Okay. So you had a little bit chugging along, doing okay. What happened?
Well, the little picture on the bottom there is Russell Island. That's one of those challenges when the neighbours do a clean-up.
Yeah. Push it on our nails.
That was pretty heartbreaking. Similarly, the house above, that's when we lived in Dubbo. And then
properties just kind of happened along the way more than anything.
Well, we knew it was the right vehicle, but we didn't understand how to do things.
Yeah.
That house was probably the worst house in one of the best streets.
Mm-hmm.
But not understanding or knowing the market meant that, and again, being one of those country people who doesn't throw things out that aren't broken, we didn't renovate the way the market could or should have been.
Okay. Yep. And that's an interesting point that you bring up there. A lot of country people are like that. You know, it's just, you know, you've got to save it for, I might need that one day. Yep. And you end up with a shed full of crap.
Yeah, so we bought the farm.
So you bought the farm.
Four sheds.
For more crap.
Oh, yeah.
Four sheds with crap.
Okay, so the original position pre I Love Real Estate was that you had a few properties, they'd kind of been acquired along the way because you could, you knew you had to, but you weren't, didn't have a real plan of attack.
That's right. That's right.
Mistakes, I guess, were buying in your own name.
Buying in our own names, nothing in any was
no
really
structures,
protected. No structures.
Same bank.
Cross-securitised, good old. All the normal stuff.
And the banks then always said to us, no, you just did one this year. Just wait. Though we were in a better financial position because something might be positive, but they're like, no, you did one this year. Come back next year.
So what were the fears back then?
I guess the greatest fear related specifically to whether we were doing the right thing.
Yeah, the unknown.
We grew up in that perception that you'll never be able to afford a property in Sydney, mm-hmm. or you'll never be able to afford something else.
Yeah.
So we never looked.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
And how your perception of things really directs your overall outcome.
Very much so. Yeah.
That's the thing with the box that we were talking about. We've been in that box that everybody else's rules, you don't do this, you don't do this. The bank said, the friend said, the father said, whatever.
All that stuff.
And what you were talking about earlier really resonated with me because you're in this box, you think, but then you find out there is no lid.
No.
Like you can get out anytime you like, you just have to...
It's like the jar of fleas.
Yes.
That's exactly
what you've got to do is put the lid on for one generation, then every generation thereafter will never jump above the lid because it's been passed down that that's your limit. That's your height limit. That's as far as you can go. It's an interesting experiment if you want to look it up. Mm. So this was your position. You did have six properties, which is good.
Yep.
Yeah. You had a considerable amount of equity, 1.4, so you hadn't done everything wrong.
No, certainly not. We'd bought some good properties and done well with them.
And
couldn't
you
understand
had cash
why
flow.
You deliberately buy something that
was negative. Well,
was negative
that's because most people, that's what tell
but
you to do.
We couldn't afford to.
Yeah. But it had been built up over a long period of time.
Well, very much so, yeah.
18 years.
So if you wanted to fast track things, you had to be doing things better, quicker, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. The reality was I knew 25 years ago where I wanted to be in 20 years.
Yeah.
But when that 20 years came around, I wasn't where I wanted to be.
Dreams got lost. So health, time, not good.
Mm-mm. No. Mm. In one space there, within a space of 6 years, we moved 5 times and we had 4 children.
Yeah.
No family support. And Dan had a job that, like, have any of you heard that I've Been Everywhere Man song? Well...
You have.
Where was it?
We were based in Dubbo, but I worked at Cockburn, Ingham, Warren, Narra, Peak Hill, Parks, Forbes, Lake Angeligo, Walgett, Lightning Ridge, Birkenborough, Warrener.
And he had to take the family car.
Collarinnabri too.
Yeah.
No, they didn't have a courthouse.
Oh, there you go.
Everybody from Collie went to Walgett.
Yeah, it was fun times.
Okay, so no time, kids, health suffering, everything's going on. So what was the plan of attack after the I Love Real Estate Bootcamp?
We needed to sort our crap out. Mm-hmm. Leanne works in medical. There's a big risk of being sued.
Yep.
I work in the cops. There's a big risk of being sued. We've got a farm. The cow walks on the road. There's
big
a big risk
of
getting sued.
So, tenants.
You know, the cross is securitised. So we spent the next period of time just working that stuff out.
Okay.
And
gift and loan backs, all the rest of it happening.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So this house... For example, was the second house that we bought, and we looked at renovations. It was in a 970 square metre block, but the position of the house meant we couldn't get a driveway down the side of it. The sewer line in the middle of the backyard buggered other things up. We looked at renovating. Again, the figures didn't stack up.
Yeah.
We looked at a cosmetic reno. They didn't stack up. So we sold it as it was.
Okay.
And we made good coin on it.
Okay.
But that was just because of the amount of time that we put into it.
Yeah. And owning it, for a long
time.
That's
right.
Long period of time.
It was the time.
Okay, so we got rid of things that weren't in the right name, weren't structured properly, and there were really not a lot of upside, even though it was positive.
Yeah.
That would then give you the ability to be able to do the gift and loan back and get that.
Yep.
Not this one.
Not this, this one.
This, and I haven't told you about the renovation that we started on the farm.
No, don't tell her that one.
We started the renovation before we came to the first Dimpner event.
Oh, okay.
And realised that borrowing for a home reno is just
was not a
sensible.
Really good idea, no.
So we sold this one.
Oh, that's what you did.
Yeah, so that ate that.
All right, deal number two.
This, however, was just that asset protection deal.
Okay.
We sold this little gem. It was a block of 3 units that we had. But again, we had a real problem early 2017 with vacancy rates. Mm-hmm. The vacancy rate in Armidale had gone up to 6-7% or thereabouts. And thank goodness for us, we'd sort of been to one of your events. And through that, we realised that if we furnished it, threw a bit of new carpet in, new coat of paint, we'd get the tenants.
Yeah.
Put the
we'd
rent
get
up.
Get the tenants at a higher rent. With the occupancy, we could argue that the value of the property had gone up. And we did just that.
Okay.
And so we ended up selling it, admittedly, at a 7.7% return on value.
Mm-hmm.
But
on the
that...
Gave you another 183 grand.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
Mm-hmm. And it freed you up to be able to restructure your portfolio.
It did.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else happened? So debt reduction?
We paid down debt.
Yep.
The bank let us keep a good portion of it, 100 mm-hmm. and something K.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed us to do the deed
yep.
of gift, borrow it back, mm-hmm. gift it, et cetera, et cetera. And that gave us a cracking opportunity at a friendly debt.
Yes.
Asset protection debt.
Great. Okay.
But in the meantime, of course, I knew that I wanted another real deal.
Mm.
I wanted to do something that meant something.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for a subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
And I, oddly enough, if you ask the universe for something, it will provide. It may not be what you ask, and I know that you said you wanted some time off and you broke a leg.
Broke a jaw.
Oh,
jaw.
There you go. I thought it was a leg.
No, it's broke a jaw.
One of my work colleagues, desperate to retire, wanted to get out. He had got his A-team together.
Good.
Unfortunately for him, his A-team wasn't an A-team. It was a C-team.
Mm-hmm.
He got the advice that he needed to put a subdivision in and then sell it as a DA-approved site.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he did.
Mm.
What he didn't take into account was that the sewer line was 2 km away and that was what the DA required.
Yeah. Yeah. So an extension of the sewer, which is very expensive.
Extremely.
Mm.
And he increased his price because he felt it was obviously worth a lot more with the approved DA. So he jacked his price up, asking, and sat on the market for the best part of 2 years.
Yeah.
Without an offer, without an inspection, he just sat there.
Mm.
And he came whinging to the office one day and said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how it's going. I don't know what to do.
So he was a mate of yours at work?
He was. He was. And I sort of had it ticking in the back of my mind that perhaps a joint venture might work, which again was one of those things that I never, ever contemplated doing. There's no way could you trust somebody else. And when you work, I mean, without being negative, when you work where I work, you become extremely suspicious. You can't trust other people.
That's the downside of the trade.
That's right. That's one of those downsides. And of course, I said to Chris at the time, mate, what you need is a partner. And instantly his shield came up, the same as it always does. What are you talking about? Who? I'm sure he could feel my hand in his pocket. But the reality was, he couldn't retire. He couldn't move on. He'd bought a new house. Thinking he was going to sell
overcommitted.
This.
Overcommitted.
He'd bought a new caravan, thinking he was going to sell this. He'd bought a new four-wheel drive to pull the caravan. The poor bugger was buggered.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't, you know. So he went away and had a think, and he came back 24 hours later and said, look, we'd have to do, it'd have to be in writing, right? And I said, mate, absolutely. It will be legal. It will be straight up and down. I made it clear to him that I needed at least 25% return.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the deal wouldn't work.
Yep.
And he said, mate, that's fine. But, well, actually...
What did you end up getting?
Well, what he ended up saying was, no, I'm not happy with the 25% return on your outlay. We'll go 50-50 on the profits. After the 25%.
There you go. Good, good.
So I did the figures and they stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've pushed it through. The titles are now with council, waiting for, or the planning assessment's now with council. And again, this is one of those lessons in life. Worry about the things you can control. Don't worry about the things you can't.
Mm-hmm.
They will eventually get it dished out. But in the meantime, we've sold the house on 1 hectare for mm-hmm. $530,000.
What'd you pay for the whole thing? What'd he pay for it?
The cost of the development's
$196,000. Good.
The deal is we'll go 50-50 on the blocks as they go until the debt's paid out.
Uh-huh.
So on the sale of a house, our share of the sale when we settle is $256,000.
That's only on one of them.
That's right.
Good.
But he gets what he wanted and a bit more too.
Good, good.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Very good. So nice little wonder to kick things off there.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely
and,
fantastic.
You know, get things in writing, suspicion, yeah. all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so win-win situation for everybody. On title issue, you received $258,000, but that's only on part of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Lots more to come.
That's right.
On the other
side. The 258, that pays the debt out.
Yep.
Gives us our 25%.
Yep. And then it's upside on all the rest.
That's right.
Very good. So what's the next one you've got here then?
Well, sadly, that's a picture of an aerial photo of the farm. That's mm-hmm. where we live.
Bit dry.
Bit dry. And if anybody says to you, farming's great, farming's romantic, I'll tell you what, sometimes it's a mug's game.
It's heartbreaking.
It's hard going. That's very brown. And, it's been hard the last couple of years. The seasons just haven't been the way they used to be.
So, obviously, farm is difficult to make money, particularly small farms.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lifestyle. It's not an investment, really.
No.
So, how do we turn around a lifestyle decision into a profit-making centre?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
When we bought it, we knew that it was approved for ecotourism.
Mm-hmm.
Conveniently for us, we live right beside a national park.
Yep.
Park. We live right beside the gorge.
Yep. Lovely.
And the waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got that park landlocked with our farm.
Okay. So no one can get in except through you.
Going through our farm.
Okay. So it's obviously a holiday park. We got it zoned right yet?
Well, no, we're already zoned. It was zoned right when we bought it.
Okay, very good. So cabins are going in there?
So we've got the DA, and again, you can't control bureaucrats because it's the same council. So we're waiting on the DA approval, but our lodgement meeting went beautifully. They thought this was a great idea, and we expect approval, well...
So that'll
day now for
turn
five.
Something that was negative into positive.
Oh, well and truly, yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay.
We've done a bit of a market analysis. Of course, it's a little difficult because there's nothing really to compare.
No.
But the nearest stuff that we can find is that we can be very confident of 50% occupancy, so 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
The market rate for one of these cabins we anticipate to be reasonably between 180 and 220 a night. Conveniently for us, that's going to conceivably generate a cash flow of $88,000 a year.
So what's the game plan here? Is your overarching goal income replacement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your target figure?
Mm-hmm. Well, and oddly enough, I've spoken to Greg about that. It was 110K because that's what I'm on the COPS.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're working with Greg now?
Yeah.
To achieve that?
Yeah.
And we're on track?
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so.
Very good. So that'll put a big dent in it?
It'll make a massive dent in it.
Yeah.
And we've already got a couple of other little ideas. And, of course, now I'm looking at it and thinking, geez, I've shot too low, saying 110.
Well, that's the first peg in the sand. We can move the peg when you get there.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the overarching driver here for you?
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, I joined the COPS specifically to help people. Sorry, myself. I needed that secure job. But after joining, I found that, you know what, I really like helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest things with what I've done has been just that.
Because you cop a lot of shit too.
Oh, we do. We do. Mm. And the armchair critics out there are just incredible.
Mm.
Everybody has an opinion about the way you should be doing it
mm-hmm.
or the way you could have done it.
Mm.
But with all due respect to them, try standing in the shoes.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. But it's been tremendous. We've had... the opportunity to focus specifically on what we think matters.
Yep.
Because ultimately it's really not what you've got. It's who you influence, it's who you're with, it's who you help. Those are the things that really count. And that's
See, realistically, that's what matters. Give yourself a year, 18 months maybe, you will be in a position to have the choice to leave work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's a massive turnaround.
Huge, huge.
Would you leave work?
Well, that's the funny. That's the funny thing. 2 years ago, I was Doug One, Graham One.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get out right now.
Yep.
I'm not in a happy place.
Yep.
But the reality is that right now I'm now Graham Two, saying, yeah, you know, now that I can see the exit plan, now that I can see the strategy, now that I
now
can see these things,
now it's not a have to.
It's no longer a have to. That's right. Now I can, and I mean that young fellow there that's standing beside me in the photo
adores him.
That poor little bugger. He's got a pretty fair baggage pile to carry, and that helping that kid has really turned him around.
So that's not your child?
No, no, that's a kid who was having a bad day one day. Mm.
That's fantastic. And that's the reward, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the flow-on effect obviously is not just for you, but the flow-on effect to your family and friends and everything else of the education that you've decided to take on board.
Well, it's been huge, and the funny thing is, it's only when you realise that it's your own self that holds you back, because you put those shields up and you get used to having those shields up. You get used to being in that box, and the weight of the world makes the box smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and when we came to the Millionaire Within event, we went to Pip. We ended up signing up with Pip, and she really showed me in particular just how small my box had got.
Yeah.
And so it's really important to invest in yourself, because when push comes to shove, we are our own, as you said earlier, our own worst enemy.
And we come into the world alone, we leave it alone. What we do in the middle is up to us.
That's right.
That's exactly right. So the flow-on effect. So what are your learnings out of this process? Come on, Leanne, you haven't said much. What are your learnings out of the process?
Do your physio. Don't paint the walls. What did you call them? Let's have a paint scheme that will stab them in the eyes.
I wanted to be bold. I wanted it to be bold. I wanted it to make a statement.
Right. What colour did you pick?
Colour.
We had calf shit.
We don't have
sorry.
Photos.
Mustard yellow.
Blue.
You call it? Yeah. Oh, God.
And it looked really Egyptian. It was gorgeous.
When you're not good at something...
We're going to get a JV.
You need a professional. Pay for it.
And that's one of those things we've learned. It is okay to ask for help.
And save the marriage too.
Okay. What else? Obviously, there's a lot to learn about asset protection and then the funding that flows from that and how you do it and stuff. What else?
Reverse engineering a project too. Awesome.
Great, yes.
See how somebody else did it. Yeah, awesome. Yep. A-team, all of the good stuff. Yeah.
Very good.
And listen to Timpner.
It's okay to ask for help.
It is okay to ask for help. That's exactly right. And procrastination through fear.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... I mean, and that's what happened... That's what drove us to this, to be here as part of the community was the, well, what do we do? Mm. Where do we go? We've got all of these options, but, well, if we do that, it's only going to do this and it's really not an answer.
Yeah.
Well, if we do this, and so you're stuck saying, well, if I make this bad decision, I will never get out of the cops.
Yeah.
If I do this, we will never get over that.
Yeah.
And so you start realising that you can't move on without doing something, but you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because that fear of making the wrong decision is what holds you back rather than
the
pride,
fear of the
excitement of moving on.
That's right.
And the more we do, the more we can do.
That's right. So that's exactly right.
It's awesome.
So your final results have come in here, which is looking rather healthy there, especially from a cash flow perspective.
It is. Yeah. It is. And that's what we've been trying to focus on.
That's what you've done.
Yeah.
So moving, you're looking at that doesn't include, obviously, the cabins in there?
No, not yet.
So add that on and you're just about there from a leaving perspective.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Very good. Okay, so what advice would you give to people starting out?
Get out of your box. And if there's one person here today that gets something out of our journey so that they don't take the 18 years on the slow back roads and just jump onto the Dipner way... I would be happy.
I guess the other thing is the people in this room are just fantastic. I mean, it amazes me just how generous people are with their courtesy, with their openness, with their approachability, with their offers of assistance.
You probably don't get that very often.
No.
In your job.
No, not a lot.
That's a massive credit to both of them this weekend, especially because especially for Dan that sees the worst in humanity in reality with his work. His attitude and his ability to look past that and continue to move on has been phenomenal. So, the time that I've known him now is fantastic. I'm really looking forward to working with him for longer. And, he's going to hit those targets because he can look past that. He's grown and he's taken it on board. So it's a full credit to the two of them, absolutely. And even Leanne getting up today, nervous yesterday, but she's taken on board. So, yeah, absolutely.
And I guess that's part of it. Standing up here is us getting out of the box because I'm not a talker. This is not me.
Doesn't seem that way to me.
did a pretty good job for someone that doesn't like talking.
No, you've done well. Well, let's give the guys a big round of applause. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, guys, what did you think of Dan and Leanne's story? I mean, they've been able to attain their country lifestyle or retain their country lifestyle, as well as have the kind of life and income that they actually want. So good on them. They're well and truly on track to be able to achieve their $110,000 worth of passive income. You know, if you want to do that and you want to start moving towards a situation where work becomes optional, then you got to get yourself educated. Education is the key to change. It's the thing that makes the ability for you to be able to make the decisions that you need to make to get the results that you absolutely deserve. And what I find with education is it really broadens your mind as to what's possible. And without seeing that, you don't see what you can do and what's possible for you and what's possible in what spaces of time. And I think that's something that really astounds a lot of new members to I Love Real Estate, is how quickly things can change by working strategically to a plan. And, you know, I'd love to share some more on that particular topic with you perhaps another time, or perhaps around the countryside when I do free one-day events. Now, I've got them coming up on a regular basis, so pop into one of my free one-day events. To go to my website, www.iloverealestate.tv, and I've got scheduled events there that you can see when they're coming up in your area, and come along and have a chat. Come along and say good day to me. You know, I'd love to see you and hear your stories when I do those free one-day events. So, you know, get yourself involved. Also on the website, there's lots of free resources that you can download. You can listen to audios. You can do videos. You can see more success stories like Dan and Leanne's. And there's lots of reading and all sorts of resources there for you on my website. So go and check it out, guys. Bye now.